for the IELTS speaking test can be quite interesting, because if you are somebody who speaks well naturally, you would enjoy the speaking test. However, if you feel that your speaking skills need some improvement, then you might be a little worried and maybe even afraid of how you would perform on your speaking test today. So for this segment of my podcast, I want you to come and learn how to answer questions for your speaking test. Now, I know that you can't see me, but I know that my voice and the practice sessions that we're going to have together will help you to get the result that you need. So whether you want to have a 7, 8, or 9 in your IELTS speaking test, I can assure you that we can achieve this together. So enjoy your listening. Okay, so welcome to the podcast segment called Improve Your IELTS Speaking Skills, all right? And my name once again is Adenike Babalola. Now, if you've been listening to, you know, my previous episodes, you know that we practice the other skills in the IELTS test at least once a week, all right? But I'm introducing this segment just to take care of that need that people have for improving how they speak during the IELTS test. Now, I know that this segment would also be valuable to anybody who isn't necessarily preparing for the test, but just want a way to get better at how they speak in public, or, you know, with their friends and all of that. So if this is you, if you're looking to improve your speaking skills mainly for the IELTS test or for some other reason, I encourage you to listen to the end and keep coming back to listen to future episodes, okay? So for today, we're going to be using one of the practice questions in the Cambridge IELTS books, and I'm going to run through the example questions that we have from part 1 to part 3, and I'm confident that at the end of this session, you would have learned how each part of the speaking test works, okay? So don't forget to, you know, follow this podcast show wherever you get your podcast. And of course, if you want to work on the other skills, the listening, reading, and writing, please check out my IELTS weekly specials, okay? That's the other major segment of the podcast. Now, the part 1 session of the, you know, section of the speaking test is where you get to talk about yourself. Most of the questions that are asked there are related to who you are as a person. And so they could be related to your work, your family, your hobbies, interests, you know, languages, how you spend your leisure time and all of that. These questions are things that you can easily talk about so long as you know who you are, okay? So I'm going to run through the 4 questions that we have in this part 1. Now, when you use the Cambridge books, you see that under the part 1 section, you would usually see just 4 questions. However, in the main speaking test, you're going to have questions on 3 different categories. So that's, you know, 4 questions per category. So 4 times 3 is 12. So you're going to have between 10 and 12 questions in part 1. And what you just need to tell yourself is, I know myself, I can answer these questions confidently. All right, now let's do the first question. So this category is called online shopping. And in fact, I have attempted this question with some of my students who are preparing for the IELTS test, okay? But this is for this purpose, and I'm going to explain what you need to do, and of course you listen to my own sample response, okay? So the first question says, how often do you buy things online? How often do you buy things online? Now, you're probably wondering, are you going to say every day or I never buy things online? Yes, those are good responses, but you're not going to stop there, because remember that in the speaking test, the examiner is interested in 4 criteria. The first one is fluency and coherence. How well can you speak for long, you know, speak at length, speak in detail, and, you know, be fluent as you speak? And of course, when you speak, how do you connect your thoughts and your ideas together in a way that they flow, they connect, they make sense? That's the first criteria. Now, the second criterion is lexical resource, and this has to do with the vocabulary that you use, the expressions that you use, the words that you use, the idiomatic expressions that you use, or mainly idioms, not idiomatic expressions now, because the way it is written, on the, you know, band descriptor, it says that you use idioms in a natural way as a native speaker would use it, okay, where there are no mistakes. It's just natural in how you speak. So this refers mainly to how you use language naturally, English language naturally, all right, where it doesn't look like you're forcing words or you're forcing expressions. Now, the third criterion is pronunciation, and this has to do with, you know, the pitch, your intonation, the stress you place on syllables and all of that. And of course, how you pronounce words using the right, you know, sounds for those words. Okay, the phonics for those words. And the final criterion is grammatical range and accuracy. This has to do with your sentence structures, you know, the tenses that you use, the expressions that you use generally. Do you stick to one pattern or do you use a range of, you know, speaking style sentences as you speak? Okay, so this is, you know, these are the things that should guide you. These four criteria are the things that should guide you when you speak. Now, people ask the question, am I supposed to keep talking until the examiner stops me? Now, in as much as it's good for you to speak at length or to say a lot of things, number one, you need to keep your point, your question, your response on the question. You have to make sure that your response aligns with the question. So you don't want to be over talking or talking beyond the point. That's number one. But then number two, it shouldn't be too short. If your response is just one word or two words, there's really no way the examiner can assess enough of what you have to say. All right. And if you're going to, if you're looking to achieve like an 8.5 in your speaking or at least a band 7, then you want to do your best to, you know, don't overdo it, but don't underdo it. Okay. So let me do this example. Let me, you know, answer this first question and then we'll see how it goes. All right. How often do you buy things online? I rarely buy things online because I enjoy, you know, going into a physical store, placing my hands on products, feeling the texture and how things are. I just like to see the shopping experience as a me time, a time where I just go out and I see new things. The colors are appealing, the sizes are different. And, you know, for me, this just makes me enjoy my time. But, you know, shopping online is something that I've not always been a fan of. I rarely do it because, you know, I just trust the things that I see when I go to the store rather than online. Okay, so that's an example of a response that you can give for a question like this. Now remember something, your response does not always have to be true. It does not have to be the exact thing that happens in your life. Now, of course, the question is about you and, you know, you can easily say what is real, but nobody is, you know, you're not bound to the truth. You're not bound to reality. The examiner doesn't really care about the authenticity of your response. What matters is that you respond to the question confidently, correctly, and clearly. Okay, so let's try the next question. What was the last thing you bought online? What was the last thing you bought online? As far as I can remember, that would be a shoe. I bought a black shoe for my daughter and, you know, I was quite disappointed because what I saw on the screen, on the store, was quite different from what was delivered to me. And, you know, this broke my heart because I've never been somebody who shops online. But when I bought this shoe, I had high hopes that it would be, you know, perfectly my daughter's size. But when I tried to, you know, test it on her feet, it was too large. It was extremely, you know, it was far from her size, and this was just a disappointing experience for me because this was one of the first times that I would try out that particular store. So I made up my mind that I was going to keep the shoe until my daughter's feet were longer, but of course it meant that I had to go into a physical store to get exactly what she needed. Okay, so did you see that response? Now, what you would notice is I give my first response, you know, they asked me what was the last thing, and I said shoe. Okay, so you should state that first thing that the response, the question requires, but don't stop there. Say a little more. Okay, so in this case, I was asked about my, you know, what I bought online, and I said it was a black shoe for my daughter. However, I was disappointed, and you know, now why did I provide the additional information? When you see the speaking questions for the part one, you notice that they write in front of it why or why not. And this is to say that the examiners expect you to give a reason for your response. So if normally the answer to a question is yes or no, don't just say yes and or no and stop. You should say why your answer is yes. You should tell them why your answer is no. That way you expand your response and you speak with more expressions, more vocabulary, more sentence structures, with more fluency and pronunciation. You know, your pronunciation is good and everything. That way they have enough to assess as far as your speaking skills are concerned. Let me just go off a little bit. If you don't think you can respond to questions like this, then it means that you need to actually take some time to improve how you speak. And one of the methods I've always relied on and that I've always recommended to my testicards is listen to podcasts. You're listening to me right now, so this shows that, you know, you value audio listening or audio learning. But I want to add that to improve how you speak, you really need to find people who speak very well. For example, for me, about 4 years ago, I started listening to Oprah Winfrey's Super Soul Sunday, and I found that because I could hear her very clearly and I was able to learn from what she was saying, I gradually began to build that confidence to speak. And I believe that a year after that, that was when I, you know, went on YouTube. I think it was towards the end of 2020, I started, you know, creating my videos on YouTube and doing a lot of other things. What is the point I'm trying to share with you? Look for platforms where you can listen to people who speak well and listen to them daily. Learn from them. The beauty of podcasts is you can be listening to them while you're doing any other activity. You don't have to be bound to one place at one particular time. You can be listening to them while you're driving, while you're on the bus, while you're doing dishes, while you're in bed, while you're doing anything that does not require a full mind concentration. Okay, nonetheless, it is also important that you look at the areas of your speaking where there needs to be some major improvement. For example, if you notice that you have problems with your tenses, maybe you don't always use to say the right tenses, more like you say she is go to the supermarket. You know, that's wrong, okay? She has gone, if that's what you're trying to say. So if you notice that you have problems with tenses, take out some time to identify those particular areas. And then if you need to, you know, sign up with somebody to train you, to help you improve, if you need to go on YouTube to watch videos, you know, by people who teach English, or maybe you even need some apps, software and apps that can help you to learn on your own. Whatever you do, just make sure that you're actively improving how you speak. All right, I'm going to cover two more questions in part one, and we're going to, you know, call it a day, because I want to make sure that I'm not rushing you and I'm giving you room to practice these things that you learn on your own, okay? So today we're just going to look at some questions in part one, and in future episodes we're going to look at other types of part one questions and even questions in part two and part three, okay? So the third question here says, do you ever see things in shops and then buy them online? Do you ever see things in shops and then buy them online? Hardly would you see me go into a store and then step out to buy something on my phone, you know, buy that same product on my phone, because I believe that being in the store is still the best opportunity for me to get that thing. So I make sure I get it right there and then. For example, the last time I visited an H&M store, I saw a dress that was, you know, it had a lot of flower designs and it was just perfect for me, and instantly I paid for it because I had an occasion that weekend that required me to wear, you know, a flowered patterned dress. So for me, I don't wait till later. If I see it, you know, a design I like in a store, I get it right away. Okay, so that's that question. Now the next one is, do you think the popularity of online shopping is changing your town or city center? Do you think the popularity of online shopping is changing your town or city center? Well, from my experience, I believe that, you know, my city still looks the same, and that's because you find that so many people prefer the market experience. People want to go to the market to buy their vegetables, to buy their raw foods and all of that. Yes, there are people who don't have the time to, you know, visit such places. They prefer to just buy their things online and all of that. But you find that the majority would still go into either a store or a supermarket, or even if it's a roadside kiosk, to get what they need, because this allows them to buy things at a cheaper rate sometimes, and of course they can interact with the buyers or the traders, you know, one-to-one. Okay, so did you see that? I answered the final two questions on this particular page of the book and I gave my reasons. So sometimes the examiner might interrupt you before you get to the end of what you're saying. And that's why I encourage people not to give an introduction to your response. Don't start by saying something like, let's assume you're asked to say, why do people do something? Don't start by saying there are so many reasons why people do something. And just let the first response be, one of the reasons people do this is because of fear. Okay, because sometimes while you are preparing an introduction to your response, the time is actually, you know, time is ticking. And if it happens that your actual response now becomes the last thing that you say, what if it were a case where the examiner actually interrupted you before you got to that final response? So I encourage you to make sure that your first sentence is the most important response to the question. And then whatever else you say afterward is just an expansion or a justification of your response. Okay, so I'd like to hear back from you. Did you find this session valuable? What exactly in this session did you pick? What is that new thing that you learned from? Remember that you can send me an email to, you know, let me know what you're learning, or let me know the exact things that you need to work on. If you check the show notes below, you're going to find my email address. Don't forget as well that you can also learn from my other, you know, the other episode where I provide, you know, lessons and practice sessions on the IELTS listening, reading, and writing. Okay, so that is it for today. In future episodes, we're going to answer other kinds of questions, other IELTS speaking, you know, questions, and then we're going to go through part two, part three. We're going to try so many questions just to ensure that before you go for your test, you feel confident. And when you go for your test, that 11 to 14 minutes that the exam lasts, you would enjoy the experience. It would be something that you would step out of and you would tell yourself, I did well, I did so well. Okay, now I say this confidently because the first time I did the speaking test, the IELTS exam in 2017, I had even 7.5. But some 4 years after, I moved from 7.5 to 8.5. And of course, I took the test again recently in 2024 and I had an 8.5. Okay, so 7.5, 8.5, 8.5. And this just shows, you know, goes to show that the speaking test is something that you can have your best band score in. Of course, I've seen people who have a 9. I've not had a nine. I've seen people who had a 9 in their speaking. And this just means that they are most likely flawless. All right. Nonetheless, I encourage you to give this your best. Put your heart into it. And I can assure you that you would achieve the result that you need. Okay. You have just listened to the IELTS speaking segment with Adenike Babalola. I hope you enjoyed everything that you learned, and I definitely look forward to spending time with you again next time. So make sure you tune in again next week for another episode where you learn how to improve your speaking skills for the IELTS test or for some other reason. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to rate and review it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is that you get your podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great time. Bye.